This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. British Prime Minister Tony Blair arrived in Washington earlier today, and at this hour, he's on Capitol Hill speaking before both the House and the Senate. He's the first British Prime Minister to do so since 1985, when Margaret Thatcher addressed Congress. By all accounts, today's visit was supposed to be a victory celebration for Tony Blair, a reward for throwing his support behind President Bush and the war in Iraq. Instead, he finds himself embroiled in a dispute over intelligence which the U.S. and Britain used to justify the military action. In a few moments, we'll hear some excerpts from Mr. Blair's speech on Capitol Hill and how this visit is being perceived by his constituents in Great Britain.
Joining us now is NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne. Don, this is a quick trip for Prime Minister Tony Blair.
It is a very quick trip. It's about 7 hours, and just a small chunk of that is being spent at the White House. But I guess it's not unlike President Bush's tour of Africa last week, 6-7 hours in some countries. Tony Blair did arrive out at Andrews Air Base this afternoon. He then leaves tonight. He's on a 7-day tour of Asia. And I should note here that President Bush is also leaving Washington tonight, not long after the meeting with Blair. He is heading to his ranch in Texas, where he's going to do some fundraising. And he's got the Prime Minister of Italy coming in next week.
What's the thinking behind the timing of the Prime Minister's visit now?
On one level, he is responding to an invitation from Congress to address a joint meeting of the House and Senate. Blair has also been named to receive an honor from Congress, the Congressional Gold Medal, thanking him for being a staunch and steadfast ally of America, though apparently he's not actually going to get that medal today. But it is a chance for the Prime Minister to speak to America, really, from Capitol Hill. So that's what's going on at this hour. But it's also a chance for Mr. Blair and President Bush to confer. Recall they held several high-profile meetings before the war at Camp David and in the Portuguese Azores. There was one in Belfast. They were planning strategy then. Now they're really meeting to talk about their mutual resolve on Iraq after the war. And no doubt they'll also confront a lot of questions that are being asked, pointed questions about what each said and did during that run-up to the war.
Sure, because this is coinciding with the flap over the sentence in the President's State of the Union address about uranium in Africa.
That's right. And the news conference the two men will hold in about an hour or so will address that controversy. That's certainly what the questions will be about. The president's staff is still trying to quell the uproar over that State of the Union line. In that line, he cited British intelligence and what was described as Iraq trying to buy significant quantities of uranium from Africa. The outcry on this has been building the last couple of weeks in this country. Of course, it's been much worse in Great Britain, where literally two-thirds of the voters now say they think Tony Blair misled them before the war on the threat posed by Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, weapons which still have not been found.
Don, these two leaders, President Bush and Prime Minister Blair, were not exactly political soulmates when they first met. But after September 11th, they became staunch allies in the war against terrorism. Is this latest controversy straining that relationship?
Outwardly, it is not. Certainly not here at the White House, though it does seem to be more of an issue for Blair, given public opinion polls there. But the language from the White House today is that Tony Blair stood by the president and Britain was the most important ally the U.S. had in Iraq and the most important ally the U.S. has had since 9/11. Still, there are other issues where there are differences. Tony Blair has pressured Mr. Bush to do more on the Middle East, and there are differences on global warming and the Kyoto and things like that. So those issues do not go away. And the degree to which the public in either country is unhappy about Iraq gives them an excuse to bring up these other things as well.
Okay, thank you, Don.
Thank you.
NPR's Don Gagne at the White House.